one and all. God, I pray that ears are open and hearts are receptive. God, teach us, and we'll thank you for it. We expect great things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Pastor Hain got this little card, and when I saw when he picked it up, all I could see, it looked just like a little cross. Not like a cross, not like a tall cross. And I thought, right away when I had this thought, I said, I thought Red Cross.
Right.
You know, I thought Red Cross. The people who take care of you when you have trauma, you call the Red Cross.
Yep.
And then I realized it was a cross of crucifixion, and I looked up and I thought, wow, you need to take the trauma of your life to that cross.
Yes. Yeah. Cross, right.
So somebody gave the pastor a blessing, and I got a little blessing out of just seeing that.
Amen.
I spent yesterday, about an hour and a half, maybe Amy and I, we went and we sat with Pastor Hain at his house. We just went for a visit. He didn't even give us coffee.
Amen.
I thought of that after his left. I didn't even offer you something
to drink. But he gave us the privilege of his company. And to be in the company of a godly man is a great privilege. And he said, with tears in his eyes now, he talked about Black Creek Baptist Church being his family. And he talked about how much more than now so that we are his family.
Yeah.
And with great depth of feeling, he bragged on how that he was able to adopt Sam and Charity and their children as his own.
Amen.
And I told him that was a very good thing, and it pleased me very much to be able to be the father. And well, I consider Sam my son too. I know they're in-laws,
right?
But I consider Nate my son and Sam my son. You just ask him how I pick on him. And but we're a family here. Amen. Mama Vadis, I love you so much. Johnny, I love you almost as much. No, seriously, they're like my parents. They're good to me. Better than my parents have ever been. I've got five parents, technically. And the two of them outshine all five of the other ones. Because we're a family. God blesses Black Creek Baptist Church. For whatever his reasons are, I don't know. He's brought great blessing upon us here. He's done a lot of miracles in and through Black Creek Baptist Church. We've seen a lot of real, solid professions of salvation
Yep.
in the past 3 or 4 years. You know, not these namby-pamby. Sheila, told you I'd call you out. She gave me the word floofy. She needs to be embarrassed. It's good for her. Listen, she's my little sis. Don't you ever pick on her. The privilege is reserved for me. We're family. But God's done a lot of wonderful things in and through Black Creek Baptist Church.
That's right.
We ought not be puffed up over that.
That's right.
We ought not think we're something special because God has chosen to do something with us as a body. Keep in perspective what has happened here is the work of God.
That's right.
It's not the work of us.
That's right.
When the preacher gets up here and preaches, it's the work of God. Amen. It's not the work of the preacher. I found an absolute privilege to be behind a pulpit of God. Not all pulpits are God's pulpits.
Mm-hmm.
He would that they were, but they're not.
Amen.
This is God's pulpit. It's a humbling thing to be up here. I often tell my wife, darling, when she's not yelling at me, because she yells at me a lot, for my edification.
Amen.
I
said, darling, I do. More than she gives me. I tell her, I said, sweetie, we're driving on our way to Houghton College. I'm the speaker. We're on our way out to Akron. I'm going to speak there. We're going to such and such a place for a week of meetings, and I'm going to preach there. That's a miracle of God.
Amen.
Never going to get over that. How could I get over that? But again, I want to get back to this point that we're a family. I don't exist on my own. I'm a member. You know, I'm like the little toe.
Amen.
Amen. You're like the thumb.
Thank you.
That's right. You're always hitchhiking, right? But I want to talk to us a little bit about Satan today. We get so caught up in what God is doing sometimes, I think we forget the devil. He's at work too. So, with this little bit in mind, and I'll be quick, because one of the things my wife tells me is I got to hurry up. I usually speak too long. Let's have a little look at that, shall we? I'll get my notes out. You know, I was thinking something too this morning. I got up, yeah, wow. I got up at 5 o'clock to put my message together.
Amen.
Amen.
It didn't take me all week. That's a marvelous thing. Now, I could sit down with a bunch of books, some lexicons, and some commentaries, and I could take a week and write this perfect little message out, and memorize all the verses. Boy, I could get up here and I could make myself shine pretty good. But I got up at 5 o'clock this morning and God gave me these verses.
Good.
And we put them together.
Yeah.
Now, don't you think that for a while before that God wasn't working in me what it is that he has for me? Listen, this is for me. And then I get to share what God's given to me with you because we're a family.
Amen.
You know? So let's start out in Genesis. I give my titles, or I give the things I preach and speak often titles. And today I've given the titles, The Seekers. Right? The Seekers. And I think that'll become more apparent as we go on why I've titled that. But go to Genesis chapter 3 in verse 8. And God, I pray that you would knit together my thought process in these people so that they might see how it is you work this in me and understand the way I do. I also pray that we all understand in our own individual way as God ministers to us, because even though we're a family, we're all members. You need something different than I need. Maybe. We need the same thing. But Genesis in chapter 3, look at verse 8. It says this, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." God came down from heaven during the cool of the day to spend time with Adam and Eve. It's his desire to walk with man. Adam was made in the image and likeness of God, not for Adam's sake, not so that Adam could exist, but so that Adam could be a glory to God.
Amen.
And God's glory, the Bible says that we're a glory to God. If you're a born-again person, you're God's glory.
Amen.
Amen.
Is that humbling?
Yes.
It is. God desires to walk with us in the cool of the day. When our minds are together, maybe cool of the day, if you might be 4 o'clock in the morning before you work out, right? That's when you read your Bible, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Right. I'm just guessing, but it's a good guess. I'm a good guesser. That's the cool of the day for you.
Sure.
When God wants to meet and walk with you. And I believe it's very simple to deduct from this verse that it's a daily thing that God would do with Adam and Eve. They weren't shocked to hear the voice of God walking in the garden. It was a normal thing for him. And they knew he was coming. They pretty much probably knew when to expect him. Because God is a God of order. And they hid themselves. Because they were out of line with what was right. They sinned. Right? So they hid themselves. God is a God that does things, Miss Sheila. We talked. You almost preached my message to me this morning, a little bit. He does things daily,
yep.
On an everyday basis.
Yep.
God's desire is to interact with us, and we should do things daily also. And I just want to look at the word "daily" in a couple of different places and in a few verses here. Go to Exodus chapter 16. And let's see the word "daily" as it's used Listen, there's a lot of occurrences of the words in the Bible. My wife's looking at the clock. See, she doesn't want me to go long. I caught that.
Quarter of.
But you know, we're not doing a word study on daily, so I just took a few of the occurrences that I felt applied as God showed me. So in Exodus chapter 16, verse 5, it says this: "And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." What does that show? It shows that on a daily basis, God was providing for them. God was meeting their needs with manna daily. It's God's desire to meet with us, to take care of us daily.
Amen.
Excuse me. God provides for his children daily. He says, forget about yesterday. Don't worry about tomorrow. I'll take care of you today. So if God says not to worry about yesterday, or, you know, be concerned about yesterday or worry about tomorrow, if you're doing those things, you're doing a wicked thing.
Sure.
Be concerned with what God wants to do with you right now, this day. Be aware of him providing your breath for you daily.
Amen.
Turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 68. Psalm 68, verses 19. "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." Not only does God just provide for us daily, but he what?
Amen.
He loadeth. There's that ETH. It's a continuous and ongoing action.
Amen.
He loadeth us with benefits. Not just enough, huh? But benefits. When you go to your job, you hope you get one that's got good benefits. I proclaim that serving God comes with some very good benefits.
Amen.
On a daily basis.
Hallelujah.
Never stops.
No, sir.
God never changes. There's another person who's never going to change, and he's never going to stop. We're going to get there in a minute. We might go to 10 till. Jeremiah 7, verse 25. Says this: "Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, have I even sent unto you all my servants the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them." On a daily basis, God desires you to hear from the prophets of God. Ain't preaching every day, but we have it here.
That's right.
We have the prophets of God. We have the full, complete revelation for man, right now, in this King James Bible. We have that, and he desires that we daily listen to them.
Amen.
He sent it.
Yes, sir.
He preserved it. Guaranteed forever, never to change. It's for our daily growth, our edification, our reproval, our rebuke, our chastisement. God can whip you up with the Word of God. You ain't getting with the Word of God. You might want to figure out why. Let's switch gears just for a minute here now, okay? I want you to turn to the book of Isaiah in chapter 14. Start in verse 12. The Bible says this. Isaiah 14, 12. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning?" He's the only son of the morning, by the way. I'm working on a message about that.
Amen.
About the morning star and the son of the morning.
Uh-huh.
"How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also," not only, but also, "upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Now, in my preaching and speaking, I hit this a lot. I will be like the Most High in every possible way. Satan impersonates Jesus Christ. Every possible. That's why we have so many false translations of the Bible out there. Because he doesn't want you to see the real God. He doesn't want you to see the real Jesus Christ. So he's a fake Jesus Christ.
Wow. Right.
Satan said in his heart, I shall be like the Most High. It's important that we remember that statement daily. Remember that you have an enemy who wants to be like God. That's a most powerful enemy. Revelation talks about that enemy standing before God, accusing the saints, the brethren.
That's right.
Non-stop. He never stops accusing them, Mr. Dan. And his accusations are probably pretty accurate. Tim. See that boy down there, Tim? See what he's thinking? God says, yeah, I see it. But I washed him. Doesn't
Amen.
Matter. I'm his advocate. Take care of that.
Amen.
When we go on to the next verse in Revelation, it says that the devil deceiveth the whole world. Now, I heard a stat one time. It might have been from this pulpit. I can't remember. So I looked it up myself, and I did my own little math with a calculator. There's 8.1 billion people in the world right now. Do you realize that 1 billion seconds is over 36 years? 8.1 billion seconds is over 250 years. How can the devil spend 1 second with each person to deceive you when nobody lives 250 years? Listen, I had a family member. He's a graduate of the Harris Anderson College. And he told me one day, he said, you know, I think people give the devil too much credit. Wow. Now, if he was saying, when people want to say, the devil made me do it, he might be right. But other than that, he's 100% wrong. We don't give the devil enough credit. He can deceive 8.1 million people at the same time.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a powerful enemy.
Yep.
I want you to keep in mind as I say that, that God has done a lot of things through Black Creek Baptist Church. We've made a lot of achievements through the power of the Word of God. He's made the achievements. We're just the instruments.
Amen.
Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. Go to verse 11. Second Corinthians 11. We're going to read 13 through 15, I believe. That's verse 15. Yeah, 13 through 15. The Bible says this. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. He wants to be like God. I say again, let no man think me a fool. I'm sorry. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. The devil never comes to you as the devil. The devil always comes to you as God.
Yeah.
Never comes to you as the devil. I was talking to my little sis today on the way to church, and she was telling me something. And I said, that's God. Well, that's God putting that thought in your head. I said, that's not a thought the devil would give you. That's a thought that God gives you. She cried. God bless you. She
Amen.
Cried.
Amen.
She realized God's working in her life.
Amen.
And she's happy for it. Amen. I am happy for it.
Amen.
I'm blessed by it.
Yes, sir.
I love you, Charity. That's not who I was talking to on the way to church, though. His ministers are transforming the workers of righteousness. False teachers. Boy, I'd like to preach Jude to you right now, but it takes me about 5 hours. I'm serious. That's the short version. His workers are transformed into wonderful people.
Yep.
If I have my Joel Osteen on here, I can mimic him. Tell you what a wicked thing that does. What is he? He's a deceitful worker. But everybody thinks how shiny he is. keep in mind, God has done some marvelous, wonderful, and miraculous things in the Black Creek Baptist Church. I want you to keep that thought in mind if you can for another few minutes as we go on in this, okay? Listen, you need to be very, very careful who you're listening to. Do not listen to a man that preaches from a false Bible.
That's right.
Those are words of death.
That's right.
Disguised as the words of life. We've had a little bit of contention here, Dale and I, with a couple of young men here about that topic of being born again out of a false Bible. From a Bible that preaches death under the name of Jesus Christ. How can that be? How can corruptible make incorruptible? I'm just a dumb old redneck. And I can put 2 and 2 together and realize that's not possible. Why would a person want to believe such a thing? I want to try to surmise what's in somebody else's heart. I'll tell you the best ability what I know, though. And there is no power of life in a false book, in a book that impersonates Jesus Christ. This is the Word. Both ones aren't. Oh, time goes fast. Let's turn to Romans. Look at Romans in chapter 6. Here we go now. We're a family. We're a body. Okay? Romans 6, verse 19, we see this. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. And then verse 19 says this, I speak after men, after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity. Even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. We are a body. This is talking to individuals, right? Here we go, see, but there we get here, it says ye. Ye, that's a group of people. Ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness.
That's right.
Are we different? Have we escaped that behavior as a body? No, we've not. But you see, the power of God is stronger than that. The ability to God, the works of born again people, is beyond that ability to destroy. What was it Stephen preached it? God's love is powerful, more powerful than death.
That's right.
You realize, Sandy, your body, your flesh, wants to walk around being dead all day. That's not just lazy like me. But wants to walk around in his deadness. God has every desire to break you from that and bring you to him. Sometimes, in order for God to bring us to him, to draw us to him in his goodness, he must break the arm of the mighty. He must bring us low, show us that we're not what we think we are. Because you know what? You know what one of man's problems separating from God is their opinion of himself. What you're able to do, or what you're not able to do. I'm too good for God. I'm too bad for God. I'll take care of myself and do it on my own. That's good. I think that's probably more excitement for Applebee's. Listen, now again, we're a family, we're a body. We are the Black Creek Baptist Church, and wonderful things have happened here. Colossians 3:5. I'm going to skip it. I got to move along a little bit. says this: mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Listen, these are things that you must not yield to.
Amen.
The Bible says, yield our members unto righteousness, unto God, but these are things that you must not yield to.
Amen.
Don't get puffed up.
That's right.
Because you're a Black Creek Baptist Church and yield your members to unrighteousness. You must daily yield yourselves to God. We must, as a body, daily yield ourselves to God. Through His prophets. Through the preaching. Through proper fellowship. Not just hanging out and shooting it. The breeze, that is. Huh? But through real fellowship.
Amen.
It's wonderful to sit down and, well, he's not here. And have Caleb come over to my house now and watch Stargate.
Amen.
There's nothing wrong with that. But you know that young man who asked me Bible questions?
I like it.
He'll talk about God. And Mr. Ronnie, what do you think about this? Or Mr. Ronnie, what's this mean? Or Mr. Ronnie, why are you picking on me? I pick on him because he needs it. It's good for him. But you know what? He likes being picked on him. He likes that attention. That godly attention, right? That manly, appropriate attention. And God bless him, Miss Tanya, for we all being up there where we're at so that we spend some time with him. It's good for me. It's good for me. But we're a body. James 4:1 says this: from whence come wars and fightings among you? Didn't it say to you or against you? From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence? Even of your what? Lust that war in your members.
Right.
We fight amongst ourselves. We have wars amongst ourselves. Miss Tanya, let me ask you. Has there ever been any battling going on amongst ourselves here?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I'm guilty. Oh, buddy, am I guilty? Ask Nick. Amen. What's it say, though, huh? Of your members. We're a body. Listen. Man. If you hurt your arm, don't you put it in a sling? If you break your finger, don't you go to the doctor and plan what a splint on it?
Just tape it to your next finger and keep working.
Yeah. It works. It still works.
Amen.
If you cut your finger off, you go to the doctor.
Yeah, maybe.
Listen.
Which one it is.
Listen. Mr. Joe. When me being the little toe, when I jam that toe up on the salt and I get all out of joint, you need to help me with that. We're part of the same body. You need to help me put that arm in the sling if I need it.
That's right.
We don't need to fight and war amongst ourselves.
That's right.
We should be loving, helping, edifying, right, building up. Taping the fingers up. Right? Picking it up and bringing them to the doctor if you got them.
Amen.
Right? We're a family. Let's not be puffed up about this. Because, now I'm going to skip. I got to skip. No, I can't. We're going to switch gears again real quick. Revelation 5:5 says, and one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and loose the seven seals thereof. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, this is Christ. We understand that. Jesus Christ is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. However, here we go again with his imitation. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. This is Satan. And he works from the inside if he can. He wants to get in your head. He wants to get in the mind of the body. He wants to get into the midst of the family and cause discord. And he wants to have it happen by you yielding your members to him.
Look at Black Creek Baptist Church. All you other churches, you stink. We're better than you.
Come on. You ever thought that? My church is the best church. Well, it is. My pastor is the best pastor. Well, he is. Amen. But listen, we have an adversary. And he comes as an angel of light. Listen, Black Creek Baptist Church has been God's instrument for wonderful works and miracles. The devil hates that. You know the devil isn't in the bar on Friday night. He doesn't need to be there. The devil isn't in the drug dealer's house. He doesn't need to be there. The devil's knocking on the door of Black Creek Baptist Church saying, let me come in. Listen, the Bible says to resist the devil and he'll flee from you. It doesn't say fight him. The devil likes an easy fight. All you got to do is resist him and he'll go away. We resist him with the word of God, obviously. Our shield, our sword, our buckler. I like the word buckler because that's a part of a shield that breaks the enemy's weapon. Jesus doesn't just shield us. He breaks the power of the enemy.
Amen.
Amen.
With this, by showing us the truth of ourselves, the truth of the situations, what we need to watch out for. That word vigilant. Well, first of all, I want to get to the word walketh. There's an ETH on that. It means he never stops, continue ongoing thing. In the garden, we saw God walking with Adam. Here we see the devil walketh about. He imitates. Imagine this, you're out in the bush in Africa and you got a camp and you have a fire going and you hear roaring, oh, this lion roaring. You can't see him outside of that light and he won't come into that camp and be exposed, but he's roaring. Oh! wars terrify you. They scare you. They can paralyze you, but they can't hurt you. If you stay by that fire, you're safe. But he's going to walk around that camp and look for a way in because he seeks to devour you. He seeks to devour us. He hates Black Creek Baptist Church because God loves Black Creek Baptist Church. He hates us more than other churches because God has done wonderful things and miracles here. Be sober. Be vigilant. Submit yourself before God. Resist the devil. Guard yourself. Satan doesn't fight fair, and he wants an easy victory. And if you don't do the things of God and yield your members to his ways, you're an easy victim.
That's right.
If you don't put on your armor every day, you're an easy mark. If you are causing discord in the church, he don't even need to work on you. Wakeful. Vigilant. Vigilant means this. Wakeful. Watchful. Keeping steady in the yard. Attentively or closely observant. Be a vigilante. You know what a vigilante is? It's somebody who's always watching for the enemy. A vigilante is a member of a vigilance committee. We ought to be a vigilance committee as a body. We're commanded to be sober, to be vigilant. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save which was lost. Seeking and seeking and seeking and seeking. See, here we go, there's the title. So the seekers. God is seeking your soul. So is the devil. The devil's also seeking to destroy the work of the Black Creek Baptist Church. Luke 19 uses the word for the Son of Man is come. Not has, not did, but is. Is come is a present operation. Christ is always seeking that which was lost. The devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking. Let me see here. walketh about seeking whom he may devour, he never stops. Yield yourselves to God and the humility that he deserves and the humility that we owe him. Realize that if we want this great work to keep going on in this church, we must yield ourselves to God. And one of the things we must do is love our members in such a way as when one is hurting, to help us. You feel up that toe, you sew the finger back on, tape it up, glue it up, whatever it may be. Huh? And listen, here's something that might not be written. If you see something in somebody's life, and you know it's damaging them, don't get on Facebook and tell everybody about it. That women's gossip group y'all got. No. Go to that person and say, Miss Sheila. I told you they're going to talk about you. Miss Sheila. Little sis. I notice you just don't look right. You ain't been yourself lately. Is there anything I can do for you to help? Is there anything you can tell me I could pray for you about? Privately? Listen, I had a friend that I asked prayer for. Never give me anything. You can't talk about him. You can only pray for him. Amen?
Good.
Stand with God. God bless. Amen. Amen.
All right, let me say this. Stephen called me the other day, somewhat troubled, because he hadn't seen Ronnie in the pulpit. When Ronnie's not right with God, he just kind of rails on things he doesn't like. I've done that. Okay? It's a sign of a preacher starting out, doesn't have much, but just railing stuff he doesn't like. Today I saw a pastor.
Amen.
I saw a pastor today. Okay? Ronnie, the second Sunday of each month, at the 1 o'clock, you'll teach the book of Jude.
Okay.
You, on the third Sunday of each month, at the 1 o'clock, will teach the third chapter of 1 John. All right? And I think both of you are ready to for an assignment like that. And again, I was very, very glad to see Ronnie step up and be a pastor today. Okay? I look forward now, because if you notice, he has trouble enunciating because of those teeth missing. Okay. Pray that his father and his house sells. Okay? Because this church has raised 11,000. He'll take about 8,000 of his own. And he'll be able to put in special dentures because his mouth cannot hold regular dentures. Okay, it just can't hold them. So you pray, because I think that's gonna make a huge difference on his ability to enunciate and speak. Okay. Father, thank you for what we heard today. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.